Chapter 55. They had dubbed her Hurricane Amanda, and by that same afternoon the great steamer tracks running across her projected path were devoid of most vessels. All freighters, tankers, and passenger liners that had put to sea between Savannah, Georgia, and Portland, Maine, had been ordered back to port after NUMA's Hurricane Center in Tampa sent out the first warnings. Nearly 100 vessels along the eastern seaboard had postponed their sailing dates, while all ships bound from Europe that were already far at sea hove to, waiting for the hurricane to pass. In Tampa, Dr. Prescott and his weather people swarmed around the wall chart, feeding new data into the computers and plotting any deviation of Hurricane Amanda's track. Prescott's original predicted track was holding up to within 175 miles. A weatherman came up and handed him a sheet of paper. "Here's a report from a Coast Guard reconnaissance plane that penetrated the hurricane's eye." Prescott took the report and read parts of it aloud. "Eye approximately 22 miles in diameter. Forward speed increased to 40 knots. Wind strength 180 plus." His voice trailed off. His assistant looked at him, her eyes wide. 180-mile-an-hour winds? "And more," Prescott murmured. "I pity the ship that gets caught in this one." A glaze suddenly passed across the weatherman's eyes, and he swung back to study the wall chart. Then his face turned ashen. "Oh, Jesus, the Titanic." Prescott looked at him. "The what?" "The Titanic and her salvage fleet. They're sitting right in the middle of the projected path of the hurricane." "The hell you say," Prescott snapped. The weatherman moved up to the wall chart and hesitated for several moments. Finally, he reached up and drew an X just below the Newfoundland Grand Banks. "There, that's the position where she was raised from the bottom." "Where did you get this information?" "It's been smeared all over the newspapers and television since yesterday. If you don't believe me, teletype NUMA headquarters in Washington and confirm." "Screw the teletype," Prescott growled. He rushed across the room, snatched up a telephone, and shouted into the receiver. "Punch me on a direct line to our headquarters in Washington. I want to speak with someone who's connected with the Titanic project." While he waited for his call to go through, he peered over his glasses at the X on the wall chart. "Here's hoping those poor bastards have a weatherman on board with uncanny foresight," he muttered to himself. "Or about this time tomorrow, they'll forever learn the meaning of the fury of the sea." There was a vague expression on Farquhar's face as he stared at the weather maps laid out before him on the table. His mind was so numb and woolly from lack of sleep that he had difficulty in defining the markings he had made only minutes before. The indications of temperature, wind velocity, barometric pressure, and the approaching storm front all melted together into one indistinct blur. He rubbed his eyes in a useless attempt to get them to focus. Then he shook his head to clear the cobwebs, trying to remember what it was that he had been about to conclude. The hurricane. Yes, that was it. Farquhar slowly came to the realization that he had made a serious miscalculation. The hurricane had not veered into Cape Hatteras as he'd predicted. Instead, a high-pressure area along the eastern coast held it over the ocean on a northerly course. And what was worse, it had begun to move faster after recurving, and was now hurtling toward the Titanic's position with forward speed approaching 45 knots. He had watched the hurricane's berth on the satellite photos, and had closely studied the warnings from the NUMA station in Tampa. But nothing in all his years of forecasting had prepared him for the violence and the speed that this monstrosity had achieved in such a short time. A hurricane in May? It was unthinkable. Then his words to Pitt came back to haunt him. What was it he had said? "Only God can make a storm." Farquhar suddenly felt sick, his face beaded with sweat, hands clenching and unclenching. "God help the Titanic this time," he murmured under his breath. "He's the only one who can save her now."